Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
The Christmas season brings with it an air of anticipation. There's a feeling in all we do that we are getting ready for something. But in all of our getting ready, what if we're missing something? Like the real something. The holidays may bring the burden of preparation, but Advent brings the joy of expectation. Truly observing Advent looks different than many of our normal Christmas preparations. Instead of being wrapped up in all that it means for Christmas to get here, how can we start really longing for Christ to arrive?
Well, we're 7 days away from Christmas, and I just felt the anxiety in the room go up. Anybody else done with your shopping? I haven't even started. But I do want to start with a Christmas confession. Because there's a little part of me that feels anxiety about next Monday night. Because they will be there. Now, I'm not going to use he or she. I'm not going to tell you their initials. It is not my husband, Jose, I promise, okay? I have a crazy maker in my family. And they will be sitting at the Christmas table next week. How about you? Any crazy makers coming home for the holidays next week? In fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask them who's coming home for the holidays? You guys know who they are, and you're already dreading it. Whether they're coming to you or you're coming to them, you are bracing for impact because they're a crazy maker. Maybe it's your brother-in-law, Justin, that annoys you because he does just enough to make it seem like he's helping clean up. Or maybe it's your Aunt Kat that you secretly call Kit Kat because she always needs a break right when you need some help. You know, I'm going home for the holidays myself. I'm traveling to Puerto Rico on December 24th. I'm already thinking about one extended family member who always makes things more difficult than they really need to be. Between you and me, I'm going to call this person E.T. because I just wish they would go home, all right? How will you respond to the crazy maker in your family this Christmas? Are you going to respond with outrage, maybe offense, or will you be someone who shows them cruciform love and gives them the gift of love in this season? That's what we're going to talk about today. How do you love the crazy makers at Christmas? The title of my message today. And in case we haven't met, my name is Kyra. I want to start off by wishing everyone a Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año Nuevo. That's for you Latinos in the house. Any in the house? The answer is always yes. We are everywhere. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at Liquid. And today, we're going to learn how to love the crazy makers in your life from a biblical perspective. So let me just start by asking, does anybody know what a crazy maker is? It's someone who drives you nuts. It's that simple. There's something about how they talk, their tone, or their sarcasm, or the things that they say, or the way everything is about them, because they are the people that always cause drama wherever they go. Or they play mind games. They insult you, but then they gaslight you, and then they leave you second-guessing yourself, and you're like, am I going crazy? Is it me? Is it them? Truth is, sometimes those we love the most make us feel like we're walking on eggshells, like we can't do anything right. And we call them crazy makers. And today, I have identified four kinds of crazy makers. They all begin with the letter D because they are all divas, okay? Here we go. See if you recognize any of these. The first kind of crazy maker is demanding. These are people who are just bossy, pushy, and controlling. They dominate every conversation. They turn it into a power struggle. They just push, 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 and it drives you crazy, crazy, crazy. Then there's the disapproving crazy makers. Oh, these are the nitpickers of the family. They are picky, picky, picky people. Highly critical, negative and judgmental. You can't do anything right. Your best is never good enough. They have like the spiritual gift of criticism. They love to point out your mistakes or what you could have done a little better or maybe tried a little harder. They criticize how you're raising your kids, and no matter how hard you try, you can never please them. They are disapproving. And man, it drives you nuts. Then there's the deafening crazy makers. Oh, these are the people that just make themselves bigger in every room. They're loudmouths. Rick Warren calls them the megaphones of life. They talk a mile a minute and machine gun you in an argument. And if they corner you at the table, oh, good luck, because it's a one-sided conversation until you give up and you're like, okay, 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 I give up. Gosh, you win. Can't take it anymore. It drives you crazy. And finally, oh, we have the demeaning crazy makers. These are the people, they make cutting comments toward the rest of the family, especially if someone dares to be happy in their presence. They like to deflate your dreams and rain on your parade. They can be petty, disrespectful, and simply mean. I mean, they are demeaning in their demeanor. It's like the wife who asks her husband, I feel old and wrinkly, and he tells her, well, at least you have your eyesight, you know? Feels almost spiteful, like it drives you crazy. So there you have it, four kinds of crazy makers. Believe me, there are many more, but those are the broad categories of crazy makers that you may see in your own family, at work, at school, maybe even at church. Now here's the problem. How are we going to respond to these crazy makers this season? Because we are on the third week of Advent, which is all about love. And while I enjoy a good rom-com, that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. Like, I'm not talking about schmaltzy, sentimental, romantic, all I want for Christmas is you kind of love. I'm talking about cruciform love. The type of love that's described in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, the Bible actually tells us there are four kinds of love. I want you to think about it like the ABCs of love. So let's open up our Bible app to Luke chapter 6. Here we go. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, I don't know if you catch this, but Luke is naming four kinds of love. And the first one is love A. All right, this is how Jesus said it. He said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. In other words, Jesus is saying, you want a medal for loving people who love you? Even the pagans do that. That's why it's love A, because it's the equivalent of saying, if you scratch my back, then I'll scratch yours. Now, the second type of love is love B. Look at verse 34. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. In other words, love B says, if I scratch your back, then you'll be more likely to scratch mine. Think about it like this. If love A essentially thinks, I will give having already gotten from you, then love B says, I will give secretly hoping that I'm gonna get something in return from you, which is why it's still love motivated by self-interest. But God's view of love is completely different. It's upside down kind of love. And here's what Luke says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. This is what we call love C. And what this one says is, I will scratch your back without expecting anything back. This is selfless, sacrificial love. This is the type of love that exists between the best of friends and family. It's why Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. But did you know, there is an even higher form of love that surpasses humanity's greatest capacity to love, which is love D. And that kind of love says, but love your enemies. Oh, that's hard. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. In other words, love D says, I will scratch your back even if you stab me in the back. Understand, this is selfless, supernatural enemy love. Love D is about loving the person who has hurt you the most. It's about blessing the person who has betrayed you. It's serving the person who can't stand you. It's praying for the person who is persecuting you. It's the person you're going to see this Christmas or maybe even in the new year that's going to be sitting at your table. And you have to love them with God's supernatural love. That's what we call cruciform love. It's the hardest kind of love to give. It is very hard to love people who've offended or hurt us, but it's not impossible. And this is the love that I want to talk about today. What I want to do is I want to give you super practical tools from the Bible for how to love crazy makers this Christmas. And I do have to warn you, I'm going to give you 3 practical steps, but they will get harder as we progress. All right, the first step is very hard. The second one, it's even harder than that. And the third one is harder than that. But that's how you deal with difficult people. So I'm going to challenge you to bring to mind the crazy maker in your life. You already know who it is. And keep them in mind as we go through these practical steps, because this is how the Bible teaches us how to deal with the crazy makers in our lives. So the first thing that you have to do to deal with a crazy maker is, here we go, everybody, you guys ready? Refuse to be offended. Everybody say it with me. Refuse to be offended. No matter what they say, what they do, how do they behave, how they act, how do they react, refuse to be offended. And what I mean by that is, don't take it personally. Even if they're insulting you or saying something that feels very demeaning. I know this is hard, but I feel like I can tell you that you can do it, because I had to put this into practice as recently as Thanksgiving Day. You guys, so here's what happened. The day before Thanksgiving, I posted a video of my son Andy reading a book at bedtime. Now, just quick pause. If you are just catching up, my son Andy is 12 and he has Down syndrome. So reading has been very hard for him for a very long time. So I was so proud of my baby boy. I just wanted to post a little video and celebrate his accomplishments, right? Totally harmless, right? Wrong. Because here's what happened. A family member who follows me on social media, they saw Andy's video, and they happened to mention it to another one of my family members who hadn't seen it, and they misunderstood, and they thought that I had sent that video to everyone back home in our family group chat, except for them. In other words, they thought that I had intentionally excluded them from getting Andy's video. So here I am on Thanksgiving Day, and they call me on the phone, and they are like all kinds of upset, all right? They're like, ¿Que por qué no me enviaste el video de André? Like, how come you didn't send me Andy's video? And at this point, I didn't even know what they were talking about. So I just tried to tell them, like, I didn't send anything to anyone. Like, I promise you, it wasn't a text. It was just a post on Insta. But they were so upset. I couldn't get a word in, and they kept talking and talking until all of a sudden, truly, they came out with this accusation. They were like, just admit you've never liked me. And I'm like, what in the Martha Stewart? All right, like, this isn't crazy making. This is just cray cray. They hang up. They're like super offended and upset. And I'm looking at my husband, I'm like, what just happened? So I go on a walk, because, you know, I gotta try to get my emotions regulated. I need some fresh air. And I'm just praying so that I can calm down until all of a sudden I got to this realization that when people are rude, they're revealing their character, not yours. That they're telling you what's in them, not what's in you. And I realized, you know what? I actually don't need to be offended. And you know what? Neither do you, because it's not about you. Here's the real truth. There is a lot in life you should get offended by, all right? You should get offended by terrorism. You should get offended when innocent people are murdered by indiscriminate killing. You should get offended when racism takes place, when hate crimes take place. You should get offended when kids don't have clean water or food to eat. I get offended by sexual trafficking. Nothing lights my fire more than that. But when it comes to personal relationships, especially family, instead of being thin-skinned, just refuse to be offended by other people. You guys know that's what God's word actually counsels in Proverbs 12. I want to read this with you. In fact, why don't we read it all together? Here we go. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Guys, these are words of wisdom from God's book of wisdom, all right? Because when someone criticizes you, or insults you, or says something demeaning, can I ask, how do you typically respond? Do you get even? If they hit you, you hit them. If they go low, you go lower. If they insult you, you insult them back. Because what Proverbs is saying is that's what fools do, all right? They give what they get, which is why they show their annoyance. But the truth is, emotional and spiritual maturity is largely determined by how you treat those who mistreat you. So let's read it again. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. How do you respond when someone is demeaning to you or demanding or disapproving? You know what you do? You step over it. You refuse to take offense. And it's interesting because the older I get in life, this is the part of the sermon where you don't amen. The older I get in life, the more I've discovered that one of the keys to happiness is developing a thicker skin so as not to be offended by so many things. So can I challenge you this Christmas? In fact, I'm going to issue a challenge for you to apply next week, all right, as soon as next week. Before you go out for Christmas dinner, I want to challenge you to pray, God, give me a tender heart and a tough hide. Can you do that? This is like a jujitsu move. It's entering the upside down kingdom. Because usually, you know what happens when a crazy maker comes at us? We typically do the opposite. We get very thin skinned and we get very hard hearted. Instead, I want to challenge you. I want to remind you that God says he loves you, that he has filled you with his Holy Spirit, which means he can give you a tender heart and a tough hide. That's what Christians do. They step over the offense. Proverbs say a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. So step over the offense. And then I want to challenge you to look behind their behavior. Because whenever you deal with a family member who is offensive or irritating or critical, what you need to do is just look past the behavior and look to the pain. Everything we say is motivated by something. And when people are hurting other people, it's because they're hurting on the inside. Guys, hurt people hurt people. There's some kind of a pressure point, a pain from their past. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they're in an unhappy marriage. Maybe they feel alone and isolated. They're going through a depression. But every behavior has an explanation. And one of the ways that you can love crazy makers is to look past what they're doing in that moment and actually say, I wonder what causes them to be that way. What causes them to be so critical or short? What's hurting them? What's that thorn in the flesh on their side this season? You know, that was the case with my family this past Thanksgiving. Like, as I'm walking and I'm praying, Lord, I just need you to help me right now feel for them what you feel for them. And so I started walking, and all of a sudden I started to look back at all of the pain that they have experienced in the past 2 years alone. And you know what I saw? Bankruptcy. They've declared bankruptcy. They're in the middle of a depression. They have a sick spouse. They're aging themselves. Guys, you know what that's called? Compound loss. That is loss on top of loss, which means I can show them grace. I can overstep the offense. Because at the end of the day, I know they genuinely love my son, Andy, and that's all that matters to me. Why do I say this? Because I want you to understand that the more that you look past the behaviors and the more that you see the burdens in their background, the more grace you're going to show them. There's a reason why at Liquid we say grace wins, because grace is real love. It's actually giving people what they don't deserve. And the more that you're filled with the love of Christ, the more you'll be able to step over the offense, to step over the crazy, and refuse to be offended. So don't take it personally. That's step number one in dealing with crazy makers. Now, step number two is harder. I gotta warn you, it is hard. First, you refuse to be offended, but then you don't wait for an apology to forgive them. Guys, we all have someone in our family who has stepped in our toes or done something to hurt us deeply. And we've probably thought, well, I know the Christian thing to do is to forgive them, and I will once they apologize. And it better be the right kind of apology too. The problem is you're going to be waiting for a long time. And in the meantime, you're still holding on to the hurt. Because the truth is they may never ask you to forgive them. They may never say, I'm sorry, because they're a crazy maker. They don't get it. Often they don't even realize what they've done. And so all you do is end up stewing over something, and you're feeling all of this resentment over something that they've forgotten happened even a long time ago. But it's eating you up inside. And so you stew at night and you dream of revenge. And it kind of reminds me of that verse, never go to bed angry. Instead, stay awake and plot your revenge. That's not a verse, it's a meme. You guys, revenge tears you up inside. Resentment is like drinking a bottle of poison, but then hoping it's the other person that drops dead. And so it's not hurting them, it's actually hurting you. So you have to say, before anything else happens this Christmas season or at Christmas dinner, I'm just gonna decide right here, right now, I'm going to forgive them. They don't even have to apologize or recognize that what they're saying to you is wrong. You're going to forgive them as Christ forgave you. See, Christian forgiveness is very different from the world's version of forgiveness. The world says forgive and forget. But forgiving doesn't actually mean you forget that it happened. You may always remember. It does mean you stop holding on to the hurt and you put it in God's hands, even if they don't apologize to you, because they have no idea about what they've done. And if you think about it, we've all had this happen at some point. I mean, think about it. Have you guys ever hurt somebody and you had no idea what you did? In fact, I remember one time I was talking with this friend about a book, because the two of us belonged to a book club. And I made like this offhand comment about how I couldn't identify with the stay-at-home mom, the character, because I was a working mom. And truly, I didn't think much of it. Like, it didn't mean anything to me. It was just an offhand comment. And then all of a sudden, 4 months had passed, and she came into my office one day, and she read me this letter about all of the hurt that she had been holding on to because she was a stay-at-home mom, and she felt like I belittled her by saying what I did. And guys, I had no idea I had hurt her, like zero idea. She'd been holding on to all that hurt for months. Meanwhile, I had no idea it had happened. Of course, I apologized to her, and I'm just so thankful. We did end up having a wonderful conversation after that. But what's my point? That Jesus did this himself under the most extreme of circumstances. Because on the cross, Jesus was pierced. He was beaten and he was bruised. They stretched out his hands. They stretched out his feet. They plunged nails into his palms. And when he looked down at his offenders, do you know what he said? Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Not everyone who is a crazy maker in your life is even aware of the impact that they're having. In fact, many times they're actually responding to the hidden pain in their own life. They're blind to the impact that they're causing to those that they love, or at least claim to love the most. And I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just acknowledging the limitations and the blindness that's caused by their sin. So how do you forgive a crazy maker in your family when they've wounded you so deeply? You know what you do? You come to the cross for help, because the cross is the greatest expression of love. You look to Jesus and you say, Lord, I need you to help me forgive them the way that you forgave me. That's what Colossians actually tells us. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I actually want to encourage families to memorize this verse. This is a fantastic verse to memorize around the holidays. And I want you to circle that phrase, make allowance, because the Greek words actually mean to bear or to carry or put up with. In other words, it means cut people some slack, because you want those that you love to cut you some slack, then you have to cut them some slack. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. In other words, you want God's blessing in your life? You have to be merciful. You have to make allowances. You have to bear with each other's faults. You forgive anyone who hurts you. And you might say, in fact, I know some of you are listening to me today and you're like, Kyra, it is too much. Because if you knew what this person had done to me, if you know how I've carried this hurt for years and years, maybe even decades, it is too big and I can never forgive what they did to me. And you know what I would tell you? You're not wrong. On your own, you will not have the power to forgive your enemy. But you know who does? God. And that's why he sent his son Jesus, first to forgive you, so, and then to give you the power to forgive others. You know, this Christmas is actually the 1-year anniversary of my grandfather's death, my mom's dad. And they say we shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but it is a well-known fact in my family that my grandfather used to be a raging alcoholic. Now, my mom has 7 siblings, 2 of whom were from another woman that he had, that my own grandmother still raised. I guess that's how you did it back then, I don't know. But this past September, my mom came to visit me here in New Jersey, and we were, you know, just one morning, we're chatting in our kitchen table, in my kitchen table, and we're talking about our family of origin, and all of a sudden my mom starts to cry. And she said to me, you know, my siblings and I, man, we went through so much at the hands of your grandfather. She actually told me, you have no idea what I've gone through. And I felt so sad. I felt so sad for my mom, that the one person in her life who was supposed to love her unconditionally actually didn't do that for her. And the thing is that when my grandfather passed away, it was actually my mom who was the only sibling present at his deathbed. She actually wasn't there to lash out or see him suffer. She went to pray over him and sing psalms to him. And I remember after he passed away, I called her and I said, Mami, ¿cómo está? How are you? And she said, you know, all I kept doing was I kept asking Jesus to take him while I was singing and praying, because I wanted him to die in peace. And I didn't want him to suffer anymore. Did my grandfather deserve that? Truthfully, no. Could she have done that on her own? No. But this is where scripture tells us, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things
are possible, including forgiveness. See, forgiveness, man, it's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a supernatural response, even when there's pain and even when there's grief. Our flesh, oh, we could never respond that, left to our own devices. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And as your pastor, I pray that nothing to what my mom went through could ever happen in any of your families. But I do invite you to think about your own family now. Because the question that I want to ask you is, are you holding a grudge or withholding forgiveness from someone who's wounded you? I understand your hurt is real, but I want you to remember that with God, nothing is impossible. That to obey Christ, you don't have to wait for an apology that may never come in order for you to forgive your enemy today. I told you it wasn't going to be easy. That's step number two. Don't wait for an apology to forgive them, because true forgiveness doesn't deny justice. You know what it means? It just means you're putting it in God's hands and you're trusting Him to be the one to judge, which leads us to our third and final step today. Here we go. Always take the high ground. Guys, always do the right thing, whether they do it or not. Don't go low. Don't trade insults when they insult you. Instead, I want you to return their insults with kindness. If they're unloving, show affection to them. If they're mean, go the extra mile for them. Always take the high ground. You cannot control what other people are going to think about you or say about you, but you can control, in fact, 100% how you respond. And you can be better, and you can respond with grace and love and kindness and humility, and that's what pleases God. Which is why, to end our time together, I want to read to you Romans chapter 12, which is the classic chapter on taking the high ground with crazy makers. I want to read these words together. Let's all read this together. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now you may think, well, I'm not really being persecuted, and that's fine. Just replace the word persecute with those who make you crazy. The people who irritate you or annoy you or criticize you or try to control. Bless those who make you crazy. Bless and do not curse. And then Paul goes on to say, do not repay anyone, what's the word, church? Evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And this is such an important clause. If it is possible. In other words, reconciliation may not always be possible in every relationship when you have a crazy maker in your family. When they're manipulative, when they're passive aggressive, when they're immature, when they don't respond well, a two-way healthy relationship may not be possible. That's why it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, I want you to live at peace with everyone. In other words, you cannot control their reaction, but you can control your response to them. You can go the extra mile. You can respond with love and grace and forgiveness and compassion. And if they won't receive it, or if they won't reciprocate, you can be at peace with God. You can go home at night, put your hand on the pillow, and actually be okay, because you have obeyed and you have done your best. And now all you need to do is leave it in God's hands. Verse 19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Remember, every hurt, every wrong, every injustice in this broken world will be repaid by God one day. Which is why we end with, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. In other words, the Holy Spirit may actually use your grace and your kindness to convict them. Because when your peacemaking is set in contrast to their crazy making, it may prick their conscience to be honest about their own behavior. And here's the piece de resistance of Romans 12. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
That, my friends, is the definition of real love. Because if we're honest, it is very easy to love people who are lovable, people who are lovely, like you. But real love is when you love people who are really hard to love. Remember Love D? Remember what it stands for? I will love you even if you stab me in the back. That's God's definition of true love. And that is the real scandal of this Christmas season. That the life-changing message of Christmas is that God gave his son to a world that had turned its back on him. In other words, he didn't just declare his love for us, he demonstrated it. He didn't just tell us what love is, he showed it to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he gave it to us as a free gift. So understand, the Christmas story is not just a story about a family who had nowhere to stay, of singing angels and amazed shepherds, of wise men and a jealous king. No, the Christmas story is about a God who invaded history with his glorious grace to provide you and provide me with his perfect love. And it's because of his never-ending, unrelenting, overwhelming love for us that we can love those who are hard to love. The moment the crazy makers in your life are lobbying verbal bombs at you, they're playing mind games, you take the high ground and you respond with the love that Jesus died to give you this Christmas season. That's real love. And that's how I want to end our time together. I want you to think about all of the crazy makers in your life, the demanding, the disapproving, the deafening, the demeaning. And I want to ask you, what if this Christmas you committed to adopting these three steps outlined in Scripture? You refuse to be offended, no matter what anyone says or how they treat you. You refuse to take it personally. You don't wait for an apology to forgive them. Instead, you make a habit of instantly forgiving those who have wronged you. And you always take the high ground. You refuse to return evil for evil, but instead you overcome evil with good. You know what will happen with your crazy maker if you do this? Your dynamic, your relationship will begin to change as God first changes you. So to end our time together, I want to invite all of us to just stand up at every location, no matter where you are. Stand up right now, because we're going to finish our service today by praying. I wanted you to stand up, and as you're standing up, I want you to think of the crazy maker in your life. I want you to bring them to mind. I've been asking you to do that in the beginning of our time together. And now I want you to pray with me. So bow your heads, close your eyes, and we say, Father, you know the person in my life that is coming to mind right now. Father, I pray you give me the power of the Holy Spirit in this Christmas season. Through the love that Jesus Christ came to earth to give me, I pray that you help me to not take things personally. Lord, by Jesus's power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare I forgive them. I forgive them no matter what they do this season. I know that I don't have the power to do this on my own, so I pray that you would help me walk in the Spirit over the course of the next few weeks and beyond. I thank you for your love for me, and I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.